Happy Father's Day again. I read in the paper this morning a brief, they have this column on Father's Day and Mother's Day, and they have people write in what they love and admire about their mother or their father, whichever particular day they're celebrating. And the one started off with a quote this morning, said that her dad always said he was a great admirer of Bishop Fulton J. Sheen. Any of you remember him? Any of you at all? None of you? Wow. Oh, a few of you. Okay. I was going to say, wow, I'm really older than I thought I was. But anyway, somebody asked, what is the best gift my father could give to the family? And Bishop Sheen said to him, love your mother. That's the best gift that a father could give to his family. So today, fathers, I'm offering that to you. In reading, you have time to read when you don't have anything else to do. But anyway, in reading, you read about things that are happening in our society. How over the past 50 years, how much things have changed. And how, say, the foundation of our society, which has always been basically the Christian tradition, the principles of the Christian faith, that's pretty much kind of faded out of the picture. They now refer to us as the post-Christian era. But what has happened in the meantime is that there always has to be a substitute for something like that. And so what we gradually have substituted over the last half century is that we make ourselves and our opinions and our freedoms and our rights and whatever else is mine, we make that the center. And so that our principles are no longer the things of God or the values that God teaches to us, but the things that please me. So the consequence is you have in our country 370 million people. So you have 370 million different foundations. So you know how much cooperation, how much unity, how much compromise can take place. Because if you have 370 million people who think they're right, and that the only value is what I think, it's going to be pretty hard to keep anybody together. But the one thing the church has always done, and been criticized for centuries for it, is that they maintain basic values and basic principles and basic beliefs. And they do not compromise. And to this day, they do not compromise. And the values are that you love and honor God above all things. You love and respect one another. That's the foundation. So fathers, you have a lot to teach us. It is not a fly-by-night job. It is a lifetime commitment, and a very serious one, because you with your wife form society. So if we look at our society and we don't like what we see, it's probably pretty much worth our while to back up and say, what about me? What am I doing or not doing that I could be or should be doing? So on Father's Day, we pray for you. It's a tough job. And in today's world, it's ridiculed and demeaned like so many other values. It's kind of saying, you know, like, they always picture fathers as kind of dumb and, you know, useless and helpful once in a while, but they'll goof up somewhere along the way. You see how often in TV shows you see men, fathers, pictured in exactly that way. But we know from what our teaching is, our foundation is, that if we follow what Christ taught us, we're going to be all right. We're going to make that contribution to our society that is going to make society a greater and a better place. So we just have to be serious about that in our own lives. It's kind of like that mustard seed that we plant. We don't have to stand and preach about it every day. But sometimes just by the example of our lives, by the example with our buddies, our drinking buddies, our golf buddies, our working friends, whoever they may be, we can be an example. Just a little bit of goodness, and then let God make it grow. So Father's Day, today on Father's Day, I think about my own dad and the values and the principles. He struggled, he worked hard. He got sick pretty early in his life with Parkinson's disease, which for a man who was very independent at age 16 and worked his own business and all his lifetime, worked with his hands, and suddenly not to be able to do that, it was very, very difficult for him. And so the last years of his life were not always what he would, I'm sure, thought that he would like them to be. But nonetheless, he kept his faith and his love and his trust in God. And I'm sure he's flying very freely where he is now. So we pray for our dads, living or deceased. We pray for them because, like I say, the rest of the world doesn't recognize or appreciate the value that they are to our society. But the church still does, and the church always will, recognize the value and the principles and all of those things that parents teach us, father and mother. Today, I want to just say a little bit, too, about the Diocese of Orlando. Tomorrow is the 50th anniversary of the diocese. I think about it. I've worked here most of those years, which is a little scary. But anyway, the diocese was established in 1968. It was part of the Diocese of St. Augustine in Florida, which is one of the oldest in the United States. And it comprises about 9 counties. And when it was turned over, when it became its own diocese, there were something like 50 parishes in the diocese, scattered throughout the diocese. And I think they said somewhere around 127,000 Catholics. And so 50 years later, we look at that, the numbers are about 80 parishes and about 10 or 12 missions and something like 400,000 plus Catholics. So it's kind of like that seed that was planted in the ground. We don't know how it grows. We don't know why it grows, except that God gives the growth. And the interesting thing about this diocese is it has been able to maintain a very positive, involved spirit. I go back to the parish I used to work at in Ohio, and it's kind of depressing. Because what used to be a vibrant community where we had 3 full-time priests and weekend help, we had a school, and the church was, until vandals vandalized so much, the cops said, you have to close the doors. But we had the doors were open 24 hours a day. Lights and heat in the wintertime, so it was a place anybody could come anytime they wanted to. And they did. It was a thriving community. And they go back up there now, the church is locked except for services. One priest serves as pastor there, and he serves as pastor of a neighboring parish about 3 miles away. And both of them at that time were thriving communities. So fortunately, it's been a joy for me, as I sure it is for you also, coming to a community, to a diocese, to parishes, where people are coming to church, there is excitement, there's things happening, and that you feel that the church is very much alive. So we've been very blessed with that. We always need priests, and that's always a difficult thing. Right when the diocese started, there were several Irish priests who came here to kind of work in the community, to work in the diocese, to minister to the people as needed. And so the Irish have made a huge contribution over the years. And now we look around and there's not enough, of course, with the growth and all of this that's happening, there's never seems to be enough priests around to minister to the growing population. So we have priests coming in, helping us from all over the world, which is a real blessing, even though at times it may be difficult for us to understand their culture and their language and their speech, but at least they're here. But what it tells us is that now that we are 50 years old, that we as a diocese really need to sit down and think seriously what contribution we can make so that more young people would decide to devote themselves to service to God in the church. As priests, as deacons, as religious sisters, brothers, so that the ministry of the church, that the mission of the church can continue to expand and to grow. Remember, Christ said, I want you to go to all of the world. He told that to 12 guys. He said, I want you to bring my message to all of the world. And they probably looked at him and said, are you kidding? Or maybe they didn't have any idea how big the world was. But anyway, here we are 2,000 years later, and the church is all over the world. Maybe not thriving everywhere, but it is all over the world. But it's still the mission that Christ gives to each and every one of us. As members of this diocese, as members of his church, it is our job to make sure that this continues to happen. So we need to somehow or another develop a spirit where young people will feel that this is an honorable thing to serve God and to serve the people of God. And that's where vocations come from. They come from the people of God. He is the one, God is the one who puts the seed there, but it is the families that nurture that. And so we need that. So maybe your kids are all grown up, but maybe your grandkids, maybe someday you could just put that thought in their minds. You don't want to preach to them, just suggest and let God do the work. But somehow that's part of our work in the mission of the church, making sure that it continues to spread throughout the world. You know, as I mentioned earlier, sometimes people think that we're pretty old-fashioned, that we're really out of touch. And, you know, say like with our moral codes and the respect for people and all that kind of stuff, they think we're just really like ancient history. But that's not going to change in the church. Those values, the way they're interpreted occasionally may have fluctuations, but the values never change. They're always there. So if we want a solid foundation for our lives and our Christian lives, in our lives in society, if we want our society to be a better place, we have to do something about that. And we have to make sure that we accept those values in our own lives and that we are willing to live those in everywhere we go so that other people may find from that the seed that will allow the virtues and the values of Christ to grow within them. So we've been very blessed as a church, as a diocese, with what has been handed on to us. It's our job to make sure that that continues. And everybody has a role, everybody. You may say, well, I've done all of this all my lifetime, you know, I'm tired, but you can still pray. You can still encourage. You still talk to people. Just be a good person. Be a good Christian. You don't have to preach. You don't have to do any of that. You don't have to be anybody, you know, that you think you're better than anybody else, because we're not. We're just kind of people. The goodness all comes from our God. And if we're willing to work with him, that goodness will continue to spread. So as we celebrate with our diocese, as we celebrate Father's Day today, I think we all have a little something to think about, that we can contribute a lot more than we presently do. Remember, all we have to do is be willing to plant the seed, that little tiny seed. Nobody knows how, but somehow God mysteriously makes it grow. God bless you.